Fanboys and Friends presents...
It's an instinct.
Somewhere on the internet, this may all be happening right now.
Feeling. The Force brought us together. We're not alone. Good people will fight if we lead them.
People keep telling me they know me. No one does.
But I do.
Long have I waited. And now... you're coming together. Is your undoing.
What are you doing there, 3PO?
Taking one last look, sir.
Every podcaster tells his story.
At my friends.
Confronting fear is the destiny of a Jedi. Your destiny. The Force will be with you.
Fandom Awakens Radio.
Always.
Fans together strong.
All right, gang, and welcome to the latest episode of Fandom Awakens Radio. Today's episode is going to be just a bit different, gang. It's a kind of a pregame show to our latest spinoff coming. It's probably going to be relatively next year. We'll talk about some housekeeping and scheduling later on in the show. But for now, we are going to be talking about all about Boba Fett.
Chewie, your head? Where is it?
But now with me to talk everything about the Fett Man, your friend of mine, all the way on Dagobah, or, you know, Florida, if you haven't caught on yet, it's pretty easy to, your friend of mine, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going?
This podcast is useless to me if it's dead.
Nice. First thing up front. Anytime we gotta, you know, talk about the Fett, we gotta take our buckets off to Jeremy Bullock, the guy that made Boba Fett, you know, in Empire Strikes Back, and took a knock into a Sarlacc pit from a blind Mr. Magoo and his dog, Jeremy Bullock. So, Jeremy, buckets off to you, my friend.
I want them alive. No disintegrations.
Yes, you wish.
Lord Vader,
you may take Captain Solo to Jabba the Hutt after I have Skywalker.
There's no question of death.
true. Of course, you got to pay tribute to the original, the one and only, the man who created it all. If we didn't have him, we wouldn't have what we're about to discuss.
Right. Absolutely. Now, I will just say this, you know, not to sound negative or anything. I hate doing that right out of the gate anyway. But, like I said, with Jeremy Bullock, and we paid tribute to him being the original source, the original template, to use an episode 2 phrase here. But, you know, outside of being fancy armor, there really wasn't much to him.
Well, but that's how Fett works. And if you watch the absolutely incredible documentary special that Disney Plus did under the helmet about Boba Fett, they talk about that, because they talk about how what made Boba Fett so interesting was the mystery behind him. He looked cool. He had he sounded cool, but we knew absolutely nothing about him. But he looked damn cool, and and they played that up beautifully. And then obviously with all the way how they marketed the toy and everything like that, and the brief appearance in the Star Wars Christmas special back in the day, Boba Fett is one of those characters that just got built up off of I look cool, and then they built an amazing legend around the character over the years, to the point where the character basically created a whole world and a whole culture.
Yep, absolutely. The Mandalorian mercs that I've met a few at a few celebrations. Great guys, wonderful guys. You know, not intimidating at all in that armor or out.
No, not at all. But you know, when they all start going, this is the way together in unison, it gets a little creepy.
And just a little bit, you know.
Just a tad.
If you got a room full of guys saying this is the way in unison, and they're in full beard and tat, maybe. But you know, they're lovely guys. We love the Mando Burks.
Yep, absolutely. But no, I don't. If you want my honest opinion, next to Darth Vader, no character has had a bigger impact on changing the directions of the Star Wars universe than Boba Fett.
No, I agree. Now, here's what's interesting. When you compare the two, you know, Boba Fett and Darth Vader, both armor fellas. You know,
yeah, but
Boba at least, I'm not saying they're not, but Boba at least had limited dialogue. Vader, just to make an impression, had none.
Well, yeah, but then Vader had James Earl Jones, and that changes everything.
and then, of course, you get to Rogue One, and for some reason, Vader has an Arnold pun. I'm like, would you stop it?
Yeah. No, but I think the other things with Boba Fett are this. Obviously, there's the whole mail away for the figure and the whole rocket thing and stuff like that, but one of the smartest things that was ever done was when Kenner did their 12-inch line of figures, the larger figures, they made Boba Fett one of those figures. It was such an amazing figure.
Are you talking the jumbos from a couple of years ago that were reissued?
Oh, I'm talking about the original ones from the 70s.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking the reissue that happened.
Yeah, not the reissue, the actual original figure. I had a Boba Fett. Now, I was a kid, so I use that Boba Fett in all kinds of battles. Boba Fett, this large size Boba Fett, fought my Shogun Warriors Godzilla quite a few times when I was younger.
Oh, Boba Fett fighting Shogun. I'm sorry, FX. Why isn't that a show?
Well, you know, maybe someday.
Maybe someday if Shogun meets the same fate as Cowboy Bebop on Netflix.
Well, let's just not. That's a whole other podcast.
I know. I just had to do it.
Just because there's bounty hunters involved in both of our conversations here. But no, we'll go to that to another time.
Yeah, let's not cross the streams. I'm sure our anime brothers, Matt included, are kind of relieved that's not continuing.
But no, let's talk about where we're at, because you know, when we look at the history of Boba Fett, coolest looking character who does the least amount in his initial appearances.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, very, very good. And can I make a confession?
Yep.
I had, and I know people are going to, you know, probably, you know, not like me for this, but I had we'll just call it an FF around the prequel time. And no, not Fantastic Four again. That's another podcast altogether. I had a Fett fallout.
No. No. It's not true. That's impossible! No! No!
And I'll tell you why. I wasn't that big on... And you know what? First of all, let me preface this with saying, you know, love Daniel Logan. He did his best. He did his job. He's one hell of an ambassador for Star Wars fans. Anytime you go to a celebration and you hear high energy in the room, it's either everyone crying man tears or it's Daniel friggin' Logan running around doing God knows what. Okay, so I preface it with that. But my Fett fallout was around the time of the prequels because I wasn't that big on the kind of Kevin McAllister Home Alone treatment that George gave to Fett.
Yeah, I can see where a lot of people weren't real thrilled with that idea, but you know, I think they kind of redeemed it a little bit in Clone Wars with the kind of character growth they gave him in Clone Wars.
A little, but he could barely fit in the armor, dude.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but let's be realistic. The Legend of Boba Fett really was established was in the books and the comics, and even the video games that were put out over the years.
You mean all the stuff that got carried away with itself to the point where it took on a life like the 700 Star Trek novels?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. Some great stuff in there. To the point where I'm like, I wouldn't be surprised, and we'll talk about the show as we proceed, but the Book of Boba Fett show, obviously, but I wouldn't be surprised if in the coming seasons, because I think Book of Boba Fett is really going to be one of those shows, that we see, you know, say a legacy for Boba. Because then the books give him some kind of family dynamic later on.
Yeah, I believe so. But,
yeah.
You know, I think here's the thing, is that where it really changes for Boba Fett is actually Clone Wars, in my opinion.
Please elaborate.
Because, yes, we kind of get the, Boba's a clone and all that aspect. But to me, what Clone Wars does in establishing the Mandalorian culture and the Mandalorians themselves is really the groundwork for what we have now, giving us not only obviously the Mandalorian show, but giving us the Book of Boba Fett. Because I don't think if you don't have that look at Mandalore and all the things that happened with that Dave Filoni did on the animation side, not only with Clone Wars, but with Rebels.
Yeah.
Maybe we don't have this big explosion on the Mandalorian and Boba Fett and everything like that. Maybe we don't get a Book of Boba Fett show. I think it took building up the mystique of the Mandalorians as a whole to really put everything into place that we have now, have us coming now.
Now, hang on. Are you suggesting that breaking down the, let's compare it to another of our Star Brethren franchises. No, not Stargate or Star Search. Star Trek. Are you suggesting that breaking down the sort of Klingon Mandalorian warriors that, you know, the books and games did was actually a good thing? Because, you know, the fast turn for me with Clone Wars was when you turned the Mandalorians into Vulcans. So if I'm understanding you right, you're saying that by doing that, it kind of slowly built it back up again.
Correct, because it made people very curious about the Mandalorians themselves and the culture and what everything means with the Mandalorians.
Right, right.
And even in once we get into the live-action Mandalorians show, where we see that somewhere along the line, the Mandalorian culture is split into two different factions here as far as what the old ways and the ways things are going now. And then you add in Boba Fett, who is basically going off by the teachings of his own father and what he knows about Mandalorian culture.
Yeah.
So we've got that look. And then we throw into what we know about Boba Fett, and where Boba Fett is still, he's a bounty hunter. He doesn't necessarily have ties to any of this per se. So it becomes this interesting take. And again, it boils down to for most people, it's the cool ass character from Empire Strikes Back.
True.
But now they developed all these other things around him and about him and about the culture where his armor comes from and what at least his cultural history is. But you have the twist of the fact he's a clone. He really has never been part of the Mandalorian culture. And we've never been able to really until Mandalorian season two, we've never really been privy to what goes on in the head of Boba Fett.
Right, right. And let me just say that episode where we got him back, we got a glimpse of what was in Boba Fett's head, and it was the sweet, delicious nectar of when we took our Boba Fett toys and smashed it with other toys.
Exactly, and we're here to talk about, which is the book of Boba Fett, because they chose the right man to do this. And yep. That man is Robert Rodriguez.
Yep, I agree. So this is the part of the show where you guys are going to hear the trailer for the book of Boba Fett. And then Kyle and I will be back to talk about it verbatim and maybe speculate a little bit, get those juices flowing. And, so we'll be back in a bit. Kyle, I think what I'm going to say right out of the gate is I'm not really getting Star Wars vibes from this. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing. I know it's a Star Wars show, okay? But what I'm getting is Godfather vibes from this.
No, what we're getting is something that I think is still one of the more underdeveloped sides of Star Wars. The underworld criminal side of Star Wars.
Yeah, and that's why I made this comparison. I'm getting Godfather vibes from this instead of Star Wars vibes from this.
I mean, we've always had a little bit of it with Jabba.
Yeah.
Let me go into this here. Sure, we had a little bit of it with Jabba and some of the stuff they established in Clone Wars.
Yeah.
But we've never had that full, true, deep dive into the underworld of Star Wars in a proper fashion. The closest we've come is Solo, with everything with the Crimson Dawn and everything like that. That, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to be very curious to see if we hear the name Crimson Dawn in Boba Fett.
I think we will, because if you look at a certain comic run that finished up and one that just started, I am, of course, referring to War of the Bounty Hunters and Crimson Rain. I think there's obviously something going on with Crimson Dawn.
Oh, I think there is. I'm gonna say it. This is probably one of the biggest questions coming that people don't bring up even.
Mm-hmm.
But there was when Jabba gets killed, that creates a serious power vacuum.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars underworld.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because this is what I like about where we are right now, just as a whole with the Star Wars franchise, okay? Is not, you know, this fictionalized Civil War among fans. Come on, that's just petty nonsense. But what I appreciate is the fact that whether it's the Book of Boba Fett, whether it's Kenobi, and he was probably doing more than just babysitting among the Sands of Time, or even whether it's Andor, because, yes, that's kind of not necessarily your Skywalker box, but like Rogue One, that is so sort of adjacent to it, right? Because you're leading into that. You know, these three shows, I'm very intrigued, because we get to explore corners of the Star Wars universe that we either guessed at, theorized at, like with Boba Fett, we, you know, took our sister's toys and beat the hell out of, you know, vice versa. We get to explore that now.
And that's something I'm going to say, this is the direction that I've felt personally that the Lucasfilm projects need to go, is to start showing us the other sides of Star Wars. And I think not only with Book of Boba Fett are we going to see that.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about the Andor show. Because we're going to see a whole side of Star Wars that in the Rebellion we've never really truly seen.
We're going to see that dirty side of, hey, you have something called Star Wars. Well, I'm sorry, where's your war?
Yeah. So, but with Book of Boba Fett, the aspect is here too, where I think this is very important with this particular show.
Yeah.
Is that you have the ability to create and establish a whole new side of Star Wars that we haven't really gotten to explore that much, and be able to use that to spin out a lot of things from it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I think there's a lot of potential that the Book of Boba Fett has to really shape a direction for Lucasfilm to take Star Wars in for a very good while. And I think, you know, the other aspect of this is, I mean, obviously we have Timur back as Boba Fett, and that's amazing. I love him. He was phenomenal on Mandalorian. But I'm calling this, outside of Grogu, this particular character might be honestly the biggest breakout character of the Disney era of Star Wars, and that's Fennec.
Oh, Fennec?
Fennec. Because not only is it a very cool-looking character, and obviously played wonder... Anytime it's played by the absolutely wonderful Ming-Na, it's beautiful, but a lot of people's eyes were really opened to the portrayal of Fennec in Bad Batch as well, how Fennec took out Cad Bane. I think that what we're going... I'm just as curious to see what they're going to do with Fennec in this as well, because I think this is going to be a character who we better get used to being around for a while in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. And answering the most wonderful question, does this woman age? Because
No, she doesn't.
Given the Calrissian cosmetics she has, clearly the answer is no.
Yeah, no. I'm starting to wonder what vampire tendency she has.
Oh, I think it's the same that Paul Rudd sucks from.
Yeah, yeah. I think whoever their connection is, I would like to meet them. But
yeah, whoever the magical shaman is that makes Ming-Na Wen look perfect and Paul Rudd look like a 26-year-old man with a beard looking at you, Ghostbusters Afterlife, I would like to meet that shaman and thank them.
My question with Boba Fett is this too. Who, I think we're going to see familiar characters and some new characters, obviously, as well. But who is going to be put into play in the Book of Boba Fett?
Yeah, dude, I have already said it. I may have to muzzle myself a bit because I'm on that really bad coast where Disney has graciously decided to give us the episodes at 3 a.m. Disney, you gotta do something about that. But I may have to muzzle myself a bit because if Cad Bane shows up, I'm sorry, I'm gonna lose my shit.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people would.
Yeah, I'm like, good lord. It's like, I'm sorry, give me live action Cad Bane. I know it was great to see him in Bad Batch. A lot of people were looking at Bad Batch as Clone Wars Season 8, where I'm like, sorry, it was its own show. It wasn't. It was Bad Batch. So I get that. I get that. And like I said, when we were covering that show, I'm happy for Clone Wars kids. I'm just ready for a lot of this stuff to go live action. That is why, if you go back to Mandalorian Season 2, I'm sorry, a lot of people had the bonkers reaction to Luke, an unexpected reaction to Luke. I personally did not, because I saw it coming. It just made the most sense in the story, so I'm like, fine. But I literally lost it when I saw Rosario Dawson as live-action Ahsoka.
Well, yeah, and even though we knew it was coming, it was still an amazing sight. So
it was so amazing, I had to peel myself off the floor.
Well, but here's the other thing, and this is where I think this is the key, and this to me is the ultimate key of Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah,
it's Robert Rodriguez.
It is. Yeah, I enjoy Robert Rodriguez to a point, and probably that point is when he was doing the Spy Kids movies and a lot of stuff for his kids. I'm like, come on, dude, your kids are teens. Stop doing weird kid movies.
You know, neither here nor there, but if anybody's going to handle the underworld of Star Wars right, it's Robert Rodriguez.
No, I agree. It's definitely Robert.
I mean...
You know, okay, we have Robert Rodriguez in play. This is a fantasy dream tangent, so pardon the side note. But we have Robert Rodriguez in play, okay? You have Katie Sackhoff as Bo-Katan. You have Rosario as Ahsoka Tano, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Give me Sin City Mandos, please.
Oh, I think there's a chance we get something like that.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, Dave could easily get the Mandalorian mercs on the phone and get them in Sin City Mandos. I mean, the fact that I can rewatch Mandalorian and know that those extra stormtroopers, yeah, I've met some of those guys. They're cool guys. I mean, I'm sure I've met some of those guys. Behind that armor, we all look alike, but still.
Yeah, I think the sensibilities of Robert Rodriguez and what he does and that little bit of Tarantino that's in him as well.
Yeah, just a little bit. I mean, and I'm glad it's a little bit, because if it was a lot of Tarantino, I'd be like, yeah, pull it back, dude. Pull it back.
We're just gonna get that little touch of Pulp Fett.
Of like a Pulp Fiction era Boba Fett, you think?
I think what you could, I'm just saying you're going to have a little bit of those sensibilities, a little bit of other sensibilities, you know. I will say this, if some bounty hunter shows up with a guitar case, I'm going to be a little worried.
Oh, okay. You mentioned guitar case. I have in my head the perfect live action Cad Bane. And by perfect, I mean it probably won't happen, but whatever. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Antonio Banderas.
See, I actually think I see Antonio more as a Hondo.
Hondo? Oh,
you know,
he'd be perfect for either one.
I see him pulling off that Hondo personality perfectly.
Yep. He's definitely that Hondo personality. And you know, I gotta say, and I said this when I said this when we went from Ashley to Rosario with the Ahsoka thing. I'm not really that attached to if you carry an actor over, right?
I think it depends on the situation. Obviously, with the Ashley Ahsoka thing, that's been rehashed over and over.
It has. I just want to, you know, publicly get it out there and be like, I'm not really that attached to the idea. I mean, would it work? Great. Would it? Do I think two ways about it? No. And you and I talked about the class act between Ashley Eckstein and Rosario Dawson is chef's kiss. It's just fantastic.
Well, but here's the other thing, though, is that Dave made sure Ashley was part of the process of finding the live-action Ahsoka.
No, absolutely,
so it wasn't like... It wasn't like, oh, we just cast this person. Who cares what Ashley thinks or anything
right,
like that?
Right.
That process was very well handled, done well. So
I agree. And for people to think otherwise, it's just foolish.
You know, think about it this way: it's the same kind of relationship that James Arnold Taylor and Ewan McGregor kind of have.
Exactly. I wouldn't be surprised if the Obi-Wan series, we end up seeing James Arnold Taylor as like a very old robed vendor.
Oh, James Arnold Taylor at some point has to make whether he's voicing something or makes a cameo in some way, he has got to make an appearance in Obi-Wan.
Whether he does the Mark Hamill thing and voices a bar droid.
Yeah, something. But yeah, there's got to be something there. So
yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised, but that's neither here nor there right now.
So we are here talking about Book of Boba Fett. We've kind of just thrown out some of the things we were liking about it here, David. Yeah. But I'm gonna ask you because I mean it's hard to go into it depth because we don't have the first episode yet. We're still a few weeks away at the time of this recording.
Yep.
So I'm gonna ask you this. You know, before we just, you know, get on to other pastures here, what do you kind of said that you feel like Book of Boba Fett's going to be kind of like a Godfather kind of thing. What are you hoping to get out of this Book of Boba Fett? Because there's a lot of speculation. We've talked about this. You think it's kind of more going to be like the third season of Mandalorian? Is it going to be its own thing, standalone, or is it kind of a meld of the two together? What do you think?
I think it's pretty much a... there's two things about it, you know, two modes of thinking right now. Number one being it's essentially a third season of Mandalorian, you know, because like with all the DC shows on the CW, at least, you know, in the old days before all the cancellations and recasting Batwoman like 3-4 times, whatever. But you know, like with those shows, they're kind of flowing right into each other. So we'll see what happens, especially with, Rangers of the New Republic seemingly not happening.
Not happening now.
Yeah, we'll really see what happens there. So there's that mode of thinking. The other mode of thinking is, personally, I want this to be a Fettdemption. Yeah, I want this to be a redemption for Fett, to make him more than the fancy armor that our Lord and Savior Jeremy Bullock pulled off so well in the 80s. And I wanted to personally pull me back from my FET fallout that, again, no disrespect to Daniel Logan. We love Daniel. But for me, I just wasn't a big fan of the direction George went in with FET in episode 2.
Yeah, I think for me, what I'm hoping for out of Book of Boba Fett is a couple of things. I do see it, at least it's going to start off a little bit, and it's going to address, it's going to be a little bit Mando season 2.5, and I think it's going to address a couple of lingering plot points.
Oh, yeah, from there. It's definitely going to do that, yeah.
But I think it's going to eventually, I think fairly quickly it's going to become its own thing.
Yeah.
And again, what I really think is that they have a beautiful opportunity to start creating a vision of a whole new side of Star Wars that we have not really come close to reaching the tip of the iceberg on.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you add it in with a fan favorite character, and again, a character who's becoming quickly a very fan favorite character in Fennec. And you have the possibility to do something really special here and create a world we're going to want to revisit, whether it's with a chapter 2 of the Book of Boba Fett or something a little different, But this is the, I think more than any other piece of property we have gotten to this point, to really split off and get away from the Empire and other aspects that have run through the Skywalker saga. Because, you know, as much as I love the Mandalorian, you still have the Jedi aspect. You've had the Empire. You've had that. We have a chance
right,
to really
yeah.
kind of.
And unfortunately, and we've talked about this before, I think that, like with, you know, some of the Marvel aspects, right? Just to, mm-hmm. you know, not always make a comparison to that because they're two separate beasts, obviously, but to lightly make a comparison, I think you're going to find some things inherently a part of it. Like, case in point, the Marvel side of the equation, I'm getting tired of everyone constantly being up Tony Stark's ass, and I'm like, yeah, Tony's dead. Move on.
Yeah. Well, I think you've even seen that play out a little bit, but that's a whole other thing.
I just had to make that comparison there.
What I'm hoping is I would love to kind of see how, since we're dealing with the underworld, I'd also like to see the opposite side of how, with the Empire not really policing things now, how that's kind of being handled. So, you know, we've kind of got a little bit of a taste of it in The Mandalorian, right. But we really haven't seen that strongly, per se.
Right.
Like to see
the kind of ordinary citizens handling it, you mean?
Yeah. And I would be very curious if somewhere down the line, and I don't even think it would be season 1, of Book of Boba Fett, because I do think they're probably going to have multiple, in this case, chapters of the Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, they probably are, yeah. Especially with, you know, Rangers leaving a gaping hole in what they want to lead up to, this big climactic event. I think that pretty much solidified, because I think they knew it for a while, but I think that pretty much solidified Book of Boba Fett as being an ongoing thing, because if Rangers was still in play, I'm pretty sure Book of Boba Fett would be a one and done like everything else.
Yeah. I'm just saying I wouldn't mind seeing another Marshall return that we've already seen make a return at some point in the Book of Boba Fett.
You mean Cobb?
Yeah. Well, you know, anytime I can get Timothy Oliphant on my screen.
Yeah. By the way, everybody, it's always weird when you see these actors in other places. If you rewatch Scream 2, that's Cobb Vanth, kids.
Oh, yeah.
So always weird when you see these actors in other places, isn't it?
But I think the advantage that Book of Boba Fett has right now is that we know a little bit because of our experience with The Mandalorian and right. what we've seen in the trailers, but there's still a lot of interesting of the unknown. Yeah, and that's because we're working within a time frame in this area of Star Wars we don't know that much about. So And this is what I want from Star Wars right now. I want new. I want different. I want to see the other sides of the coin in Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I know. And before we move on to our next point, before we wind this thing down, I got a few other things to go over. I want new, I want fresh, and so on. But like I was saying before, with Book of Boba Fett, Kenobi, or even Andor, which kind of has that familiarity because of the Rogue One reverse engineering thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
These kind of feel, at least to me, new, because it's new sides, new aspects, like I was saying, these new corners that, you know, George kind of hinted at in his movies but barely did anything with. So it kind of feels that, but at the same time, it feels like the familiar as well. You know, and the only reason I say that is Book of Boba Fett might as well be, what, our umpteenth trip back to Tatooine?
Yeah. That's the other thing. Can we get one more Death Star just to take Tatooine off the map at this point?
You're getting tired of it, huh?
We have way too big of a universe we need to explore.
Right. Now, here's a question, and we played that trailer earlier. I'm like, is that the Falcon?
It's possible.
Yeah. I'm just like, you know, that looks like either another ship familiar to it, you know, which is my reaction when I watch when A New Hope, they come into Mos Eisley and you see, mm-hmm. like, you know, the Outrider added into the special edition.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's got to be more than one Corellian freighter out there.
Well, no, I know. And the only reason I asked that particular question, however, is I kind of feel like, and there's been heavy rumors about this, I kind of feel like the show is going to show how Boba Fett got out of the Sarlacc pit.
Mm-hmm. I think that story is going to get told in this season.
Yeah. So do you think they're really going to either A, focus on the pit, and just that, and everything else you kind of hear is, you know, noise taken from, you know, Return of the Jedi, clearly, you know, in the brilliant sort of Matt Woods sound mixing. Or B, do you think they dare, even if it's far off in the distance, they show the Battle of Carcoon, but show the other side of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I personally,
it's a risky move to do that.
Oh yeah, it's a very risky move. Yeah. I think they're better off maybe even him having just like a paragraph of explaining how he got out and then let it be.
Oh, you mean like go with an Eternals thing where you give a 3-paragraph summary?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I just thought I'd bring that up because it's one of those where I'm like, okay, do we need to, because again, it's that revisiting the box thing you and I've talked about, right?
Yeah.
And like I was saying, like with the Marvel comparison, there's always going to be inherently times that you do that. But on the other side of the coin, the concern is, and we'll talk about it when we do our, you know, Kenobi pregame show, whenever we get a trailer for that. But it is a very risky thing because you're kind of walking that fine line of, okay, it's going to be inherently there no matter what, versus, you know, fans kind of rolling their eyes, or as what I like to call the, we've seen Bruce Wayne's parents get shot. Stop it.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's just like, or how many times have we seen Uncle Ben killed? You know, it's...
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, yeah, it's that same thing.
I think it's one of those things, like I said, deal with it and move past it.
Yeah, no, true. All right, so I love the fact that Jennifer Beals is in this.
She's blue.
Yep. People are like, what effect is this going to have on me? I'm like, she's a Twi'lek and she's a maniac.
I'll be curious to see what they do. What's up with that character? I mean, I am a huge Jennifer Beals fan, and I love the fact that she's now part of the Star Wars universe. But you know, again, mysteries abound.
And I love the fact that, like Ming-Na, I'm like, do you age, woman?
She's part of that club too.
What, the Calrissian Cosmetic Club?
Yeah, something in all that Colt 45.
Oh God. Oh, you mean to tell me those ads with Billy Dee actually paid off for everyone?
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah. Didn't pay off for me, but I don't drink anymore, so there you go.
All right, so
another question I want to ask before we go, and this will be the final note on our pregame discussion here, but I want to just get your impression. You know, you were talking about earlier us kind of diving into the underworld aspect, right?
Yes.
And I don't necessarily think this will dive into it, because I kind of only see it being Tatooine.
Yeah.
At least from what we've seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which would make our umpteenth time on Tatooine, but whatever. But do you think there is anything, any possibility at all, something that would spin off from this or some other direction or whatever, that we could possibly see anything, six episode series of some kind, diving into 1313? Because technically speaking, nothing in Star Wars gets abandoned. Well, unless you're books that George didn't pay attention to.
I'm mixed on 1313 because I don't know if Disney's ready to open up the can of worms that comes with that.
I'm sorry. Elaborate again. What can of worms?
There is a massive video game can of worms that comes with 1313.
Yeah, because correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't 1313 something that was still under the George consideration before he sold?
No, that was it came out a little bit after he sold, but
okay.
1313 is the Star Wars game we never got that people are to this day still screaming for because it looked phenomenal. What they did show of it looked phenomenal. And
well,
also
they're screaming about a lot of things. They're still screaming about his supposed underworld show.
Well, right, but I'm talking about strictly 1313 right here
okay,
at the moment,
right,
because
all right.
I don't know if Disney, who just spent a lot of money to put out a trailer for a brand new game called Star Wars Eclipse,
set in the High Republic era. So
right, I just don't know if they want to.
Between that and the Acolyte, I wouldn't be surprised if that gets a lot more attention.
Yeah. And again, that's the other thing too, with Acolyte in place, we don't know what's going to happen with Acolyte. And now we have some casting rumors for Acolyte and a lot of things. I think 1313 is, you keep it in your back pocket right now.
Yeah.
And see how certain things develop over the next year.
No, I agree. By the way, I just got to say, on the note of that casting,
mm-hmm.
when we know her as that little girl who basically stole everyone's heart in Hunger Games. I'm like, I'm sorry, when you're that small and you can steal time away from Jennifer Lawrence, you deserve a Purple Heart, goddammit. But I will say, I also saw her in the movie The Hate U Give. In 2018, she is phenomenal in that.
And I'm gonna have to check that out. I haven't seen that yet.
If rumors are true, we are in for a goddamn treat.
Yeah, but again, Acolyte's a ways away. Well, let's also not forget we still have We don't know what Mr. Glover is up to yet either.
Oh, we don't. Well, isn't the biggest task trying to sign him, because
I think it's Donald pretty
Glover
much,
after all.
We know it's a done. They wouldn't have announced it if they didn't have him signed up. It's just a matter of what are they going to do.
Well, I'm surprised, to be honest, we haven't heard of a Disney Investor Day, because isn't that a yearly thing? Wouldn't they have something about it around now?
I think our world is still trying to reset it, get itself back into the reset button, and
yeah, you're
figure probably, out everything. Yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, that
a lot of stuff it. Hanging out that,
that
hanging
explains
out there,
it. But, yeah.
But it's just, it's, I think 2022, as we... You know, we're going to close it out with Book of Boba Fett and kick it off with Book of Boba Fett, is going to be a very interesting year in defining the direction that Star Wars is going to go
it
in.
Is. It is. Outside of the Lucas box that we spent so much time in, a box that, you know, was a man so hell-bent on telling a story of a family that had more drama than the Kennedys in it.
Yeah, they definitely had more drama than the Ewings as well.
Well, but that's another story for another time.
Back from the dead, assholes! Oh no, he's getting away! What's this button here? This long-range missile couldn't possibly, could it? And the quarterback is toast.
Oh, Boba.
Hey, you got the girl. What's with all the clothing? Why don't you there's more comfortable? Right on. Oh, careful, the antenna.
And that would be the most awesomest thing to ever happen in the history of ever.
Can somebody give me a sock?
All right, gang. Well, that's going to bring us to the end of our, you know, pre-game show discussing everything Boba Fett. You know, remember, our spin-off show that, you know, this show will be leading up to, Straight Out of Sarlacc, Say His Name. Guys, naming these are fun. Clearly I had fun with the Straight Out Compton meme, and on the other side, Deadpool. So clearly I had some fun with that.
Wait. Does that mean I can break the fourth wall in the podcast now?
You always break the fourth wall.
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
I'm like, you break the fourth wall all you want. And I'll tell you what, if Mighty Mando Matt, the Clifton Collector, comes back, he can break the fourth wall as well. Matt, that is an open invitation. Your chair is always here, bud. You know that. So if he does that, he can do it as well. But here's the thing. You know, looking at the schedule, guys, and we have 7 episodes, so we're literally starting the 29th and going, let's see, 7 weeks. And that would bring us to February 9th, I think. Right, Kyle?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the schedule, I think the best course of action is our first episode of Straight Out of Sarlacc, Say His Name, would be probably around, it'd be recorded at least, around that first weekend in January.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to double up the episodes. I mean, partly, Kyle, you know, doing that is also accommodating your schedule of things, bud.
Yeah.
So.
But we'll get it sorted out. We will be fetting away. No need to worry there.
Yeah, yeah.
No need to fet about it.
No need to throw a big fet in arms about it. But, all right. So, yeah, we'll have that first episode in 2022. So, for now, you know, you have our pregame speculation show. So, Kyle, thanks for joining me as always. And we'll catch up again in various stuff.
All
sooner rather than later, we'll get back to some injustice podcasters among us, I swear. Because, well, DC, I'm not sure what you're doing, but you're doing something.
Yeah, that is for sure. I'm running it through my translator program.
Is it having any luck?
Right now, it's still trying to spit out the Omega code, and it kind of scares me. So,
Jesus. Well, given the workload you've been having lately, don't process it too fast on my account.
I'll keep that in mind.
Right. All right. So, again, we will see you next time, and let's just end the show with fun phrase right now. Book of Boba Fett, you know, come for the Mena, stay for the Boba feasting. I'll see myself out.
I'll just stay for all the Mena.
Oh, you never go wrong with the Mena.
No, exactly.
Everybody stop.
Thanks for listening to Fandom Awakens Radio. Episode 8. Gosh. The first film didn't even have a number. Lucasfilm and all things Star Wars are subsidiaries of the Walt Disney Company. All rights reserved.
Ryan has written a story that's unexpected but right. Some of the stuff that happens, people are going to be like, oh my God.
Even though I think I know it all, they throw things at me story-wise I never could have imagined.
And even though everybody knows that it's the second in a trilogy, it feels like its own thing.
Go!
Star Wars is so cool because there's all these creatures and all these amazing visual effects. But all the characters are also so complex.
Ryan needs to work on his Wookiee sounds. It's ridiculous. New director, I can't even just learn a Wookiee sound.
It feels like the storylines are becoming more established. We're really getting to know these new characters. Also with the characters that we know and love, we're seeing their lives change.
Everything is being shifted in an opposite way to what the audience expected after 7. Ryan's made Star Wars fresh and new.
Fandom Awakens Radio is meant for informational purposes only.
I'm hoping it'll be a little shocking, but I'm hoping it'll feel real and honest.
It's our most ancient story of good against evil, told in the most fascinating way, but it has a real spiritual depth to it.
Beautiful. It's about family, and that's what's so powerful about it.
Fans together strong.
Jabba ruled with fear. I intend to rule with respect.
In difficult times, fear is a sure bet. These are just the first wave. They're going to war.
Then we will be ready. The Book of Boba Fett, original series, streaming December 29th.